I thought while we were praying just now about Dennis's article on the front of the little newsletter today, you guys remember that any time you have a real long list of concerns on a prayer list, it becomes all the more important to have a real long count your blessings Thanksgiving list in order to keep your balance. Otherwise, you begin to think that there are nothing but problems, and that's not true. So remember, you have to look to count the blessings, all right? And this is a good time of the year to do that, seems to me. Fall is my favorite time of the year. All right, aside now from the what we're ready for, describe for me what it means to be ready. Just that word. When you are ready, how many of you have found yourself at some point this morning questioning whether you were or were going to be ready to get here on time? What kind of tasks or assignments or deadlines do you have coming up this week that you must be ready for? What does it mean to be ready? Describe it. Describe that circumstance.
Prepared in a timely fashion.
All right. Prepared in a timely fashion. All right. What else?
Sufficient preparation.
All right. Sufficiently prepared. All right. What else? You have everything in order.
Done all you can do.
You've done what you needed to do. What else? Okay, the idea of the word ready has some parallels in the part of Matthew that we have open here today. I want to call your attention to some of the words that kind of fit with this thought. Look at verse 42 of chapter 24. I guess I should specify which chapter might help you. Okay, Matthew 24 and 42. And by the way, remember, in this case especially, there is a broader context for this. Remember that it's the last week of the Lord's ministry. He has taught as long as people would listen. He's dealt with the trick questions that have been brought up. He has looked down over the city from the Mount of Olives and told his disciples that what they're looking at in the temple area is not going to be there very long, and that there won't be one stone left on another. And they've asked when the Lord is coming and when all these things have happened, and Jesus has had to try to tell them that's two different things. There'll be some signs about when this temple and these stones are going to be torn down, but the Lord's coming, there won't be any signs. No one knows that but the Father only, he has said. And so he's teaching that the important thing is for his followers to be ready. And look at the term he uses in verse 42. What is it? Can you see a parallel to being ready? Verse 42. This is what you all do while I'm speaking, generally. Watch, okay. The version I have says, stay awake. Okay. It carries a different meaning, doesn't it, how it's translated, so watch or stay awake. The idea of alertness, I think, is there. Look a little farther down and notice staying awake is accompanied at the end of this section by the word, in the version I have here, the ESV, does translate it watch in verse 13. And then the idea, because you don't know either the day or the hour. So there is an element of preparation in the word ready, an element of alertness in staying awake, and there is an element of watching or actively participating. Being ready is not a situation where you do something one time and then you're you know, it's over with. There is an ongoing state that is involved in this thought here. Now, the need for this may be observed in verses 43 and 44 of chapter 24. Let's look at it for a second. And this would be what Jesus is talking about in the parable we're reading. Jan, would you read these verses for us? Matthew 24, verses 43 and 44 now.
Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will.
All right, now notice the comparison here is not between the Son of Man and the thief. This is not saying the Lord is like a thief. The comparison is between the unexpectedness of the thief's coming and then the unexpectedness of the Lord's return. The idea that life is going along as normal and no one expects this to happen at this hour and so forth, but it does. And the idea is that the Scripture doesn't teach us to get ready. It teaches us to be ready. And those are two different things, if you think of it. Where you leave relationship with the Lord off as if it were sort of an insurance policy when the worst happens, and then when you see the worst about to happen, all of a sudden you get ready. That's not the idea here. The thought is that a great joy and a great privilege and a great hinge of meaning in life is to occur. That is the coming of the Son of Man, and therefore we should be ready. Now, the illustration used to make the point, and there's another part here that we'll try to read a little bit later at the end of chapter 24, but the illustration the Lord uses to make his point in Matthew 25 is based in a custom that probably we need to refresh our memory about before we get started. His people's custom about the wedding feast is in the background of this. And we saw before one lesson drawn from the wedding feast when the king makes the big wedding feast for his son, remember, and when the guests don't show up, they make excuses. That's one lesson. This is a different lesson from the same custom. The idea is that when a betrothal occurred, when a young man and a young woman are given to each other to be husband and wife, what we would call the engagement, it was a more formal and a more binding relationship than what we think of. It had the couple has been promised to each other, but they haven't begun to live with each other. The marriage becomes formalized at the wedding feast. The groom goes to prepare the household where they will live. The bride's family prepares the wedding feast. Not everything is set, like 9 o'clock on such and such a day. You show up, there'll be the vows and so forth. Not all of that. There is the friends who are going to participate and to celebrate with the bride and the groom are known. But they await the excitement of this most important social event of the lives of the people at this time. They await the bride coming with his friends in order to receive his bride and to celebrate and to take her back to the home that he's prepared for them. Now, in this case, friends of the bride await with excitement the arrival of the bridegroom, which is going to happen apparently at night in this case. And what happens is he takes longer to get there than they thought he would. In this case, it is the bridegroom and his friends who are late. All right. That causes some complications in the story. Let's read it and then try to think about what it tells us about being ready. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Okay? Who is excited about reading today? All right. Barney, read it for us, please. I don't want to ask John because he has his glasses on today.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
All right. Now, I have run across two descriptions of the lamps that are talked about here that these maidens take with them. There are some who think that these were more dish-shaped lamps with wicks in them, and then the lamps would have obviously needed oil in order for the wick to burn very long and so forth. There are some, maybe more, who think that the lamps here would be better referred to as torches, which were some sort of cloth or some sort of skin type or vegetation-based type torches soaked in oil, which would supplied by oil, which would burn for a longer time and give light for the arriving wedding party and then for the journey to the bride's house and so on. Now, that's the picture that he uses. And in this story, of course, 5 come with, they all come with their lamps or torches, whichever they are. 5 come with oil, and 5 do not. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. Since the application of being ready or watching is what the Lord uses for his application in verse 13, it's what we want to think about here, and maybe to offer these reminders for each one of us. Those who are ready are ready first. What I mean by that, there's going to be the wedding celebration here. The bridegroom is coming. These 10 maidens go out to meet him. What is their one job in relation to this wedding? Their one task, have you ever in trying to teach your children to attend to responsibilities or the focus or whatever, so you say that you have one thing to do. Their one task is to be ready when the bridegroom comes. And if you are all dressed, but you're not prepared for him to arrive, you're not ready. If you're out there, but you're not able to go with him to celebration, you're not ready. Andy has, last year, you guys know him, he works with the football team over at the high school, and he has one big strong old boy that plays on the defensive line all the time. He's kind of like Marty was in that way. A big strong guy who played on the defensive line. They were playing a team, I think it was Joplin, where they get the ball down inside the 10-yard line, but they can't get it over the goal line because the other team is great big. And so, the running is not working. So he takes this young man of his from the defense and tells him, now, what I want you to do is to block number 55. Points to him on the defense over there. In other words, instead of diagramming this play big and fancy, he takes the young man, puts him down at fullback, and says, your job, your one job is to make sure you hit number 55, whatever the kid's number was. That's the one thing you have to do. Now, sometimes in our lives, I don't know about you, maybe in my life, I have trouble remembering what that one thing is that I have to do. Are you that way? Or are you not easily distracted? you never make yourself a cup of coffee and then forget to drink it? You guys don't do that? Oh, you got a lot to learn about what's coming. The idea here is that the people who are ready are people who recognize what their priority is and who attend to it first. Any of you in here, are you checklist people? You start the day with a list and then you check those. I'd be better off if I did that, I think. But that is the thought that Jesus is getting. I think one of the things, at least, that stands out to me, the difference between the five who are wise and the five who are not is that the wise, they recognize what their job is with regard to this celebration that's gonna go on. Now, here's the second thing that stands out to me. We're not ready unless we are ready constantly. What happens with in this story is verse 1, it says they take their lamps and they go out to meet the bridegroom. But verse 5 introduces the twist in the story. What happens in verse 5?
It's delayed.
Delayed. The bridegroom delayed. The most important thing doesn't always happen right away, does it? Wouldn't it be nice if the first thing on your list was always the first thing to happen that day? Can you give me some illustrations of ways in which the most important things in life don't happen right away? Maybe delayed.
Have a job.
All right. We mentioned bringing children into the world, certainly, whether it's childbirth or child maturity. It doesn't happen all at once. The development of persons takes time, Becky.
Get somebody a diagnosis from a test or, a medical test, and they're like, okay, then, what are we going to do? You're wanting to go do it right now. And they're like, well, you guys got to look 3 weeks or more out,
They're wanting to do it right or go through the procedure or the process it takes, and you have to be ready when that time comes. You see, that thought, there is the situation then where some of the commentators I noticed think that the five foolish maidens took some oil with them. I'm not sure if I read it that way. Verse 3 says that they took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. Now, whether that means no extra oil, maybe their torches or their lamps were in working order when they left, but they didn't take anything to keep them going in case of delay.
Kind of explains it. It sounds like they didn't take any because in verse 4 it says the lights just boiled in their vessels with their lamps.
Yeah.
As if they didn't have oil in their lamps.
But the thought is that maybe if they had something where it would have burned when they left, I'm not sure. But the idea would be that they were not prepared, at least they were not prepared for the delay. Now, in our, pardon?
Their lamps were burning because
our lamps are going out, so they were burning at some point. Yeah, that's a good point. Verse 8 mentions that. Now, what are some of the delays that occur in life where things don't happen in an expected fashion? Well, if you've just listened to our announcement list over the past 2 weeks, you know what some of them may be. The losses, the illnesses, or the problems that we face, the things that happen in other people's lives that delay them from being where we thought they would be or doing what we thought they would be doing in relation to our lives. That's part of it for sure. Sometimes the circumstances in the broader world that go on around us, if you have listened to the news the last day or two about the church in Pakistan that got bombed and more than 50 people killed, or the shopping mall in Kenya where more than 50 people are killed and a whole bunch more maybe, or if you listen to the news that goes on in our own country with regard to the Navy Yard this past week. You know what I'm saying. There are things that happen where if at any point in the story you're not ready, then you're not really ready. That's the idea. All right, look at the third thing that comes up here. We are taught by this little parable to be ready personally. Now, what happens is that finally the shout comes. I think it's interesting that they all became drowsy and slept. That's encouragement for me. They all became drowsy and slept, and then finally the shout comes at midnight. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. They all rise and trim their lamps, trim the wick of their lamps so that they can be lighted and they'll burn well. And then the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. And the wise, in other words, the foolish are depending on someone else to have been ready. Think about it. And the wise say, we can't do that. We have to be ready ourselves. I'm freely paraphrasing. You see, in other words, we don't have enough for us and for you. We have to be ready ourselves is the implication. So you go and buy oil for yourselves. You can tell where we're from probably by whether we say oil or oil. You go buy oil for yourselves. Now, while they're going to buy, then the bridegroom comes. Now, what do you think about this? Were the five wise ones just mean and selfish in what they did? Couldn't they have spared some of their oil just for a while there? After all, the bridegroom was there now. What do you think? Nobody would have been ready in that case. So the point that Jesus is making here is there are some things that can't be shared, and being ready is one of them. You and I cannot depend on someone else to get ready for us. If you think about that, what are some of the things in relation to our relationship with God, or with regard to our relationship with God, that no one else can do for us? We can obviously help each other. We can encourage each other, fellowship. We can strengthen each other. But what are some of the things that nobody can do for you? All right, obeying the gospel is one. I can't obey the gospel for my neighbor because I have to do it for myself. Okay? Can you hear something else?
You can't develop a relationship with God if you don't know.
All right. You you can't practice any of the spiritual disciplines for someone else. Okay? What else? All right. Simply living the Christian life is by nature being yourself in the Lord's service, or functioning as a member of the body of Christ, or no one can worship for you when we go in assemble this morning. That's a part of this. And I want to hasten on to the fourth one of these things. The bell reminded me, and you'll notice that. Notice how relevant this is. There has to be the idea of being ready now. Isn't that a good point? And you can see what I'm getting at here in verse 10, where they were going to buy, and the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other ones came and said, "Lord, open us." And he answers, "I don't know you." There are some things that are holy enough that once they start, they can't be disturbed. We always tell people if we're helping with weddings, put it down that it's going to start at 7 and then plan to start at 5 after, because there still will be guests lined up. The point comes that when that which is holy to the Lord occurs, then there is not the please do not disturb at some point with this. The time for getting ready is past. The celebration is then going on, and I think. If you read this story and you think, "Well, I don't know about this. The five wise maidens should have shared their oil, and the Lord was awful cruel because when these others did get there, he wouldn't let them in." Then you're missing the point of what Jesus is trying to teach. There are some things that are personal and urgent, and they have their meaning from the fact that they're to be done now. All right. I want for us to read chapter 24, starting in verse 45. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time?" This is a different metaphor now than what we've been reading. It's the same point. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." That must be what being ready means. The doing what the Lord gives us to do is assurance that when He comes, we will be ready. I mean, that's the thought. You don't have to worry about whether you'll be ready enough. Just be doing what He's given you to do, and you'll be ready. That's the thought, I think, that stands out here. So verse 13 again, watch therefore, for you know not, you know neither the day nor the hour. Isn't it fascinating how much of the discussion about the Lord's coming throughout church history has always involved trying to figure out when? And the Lord has focused much more just on how. Be ready. All right. Thank y'all for being with us this morning. Okay. When the bus leaves, you better be on board, or it's going to be a long walk. Thank y'all for being with us. Everybody have a good rest of summer.